Everybody knows these words and those songs. Sing along with me. Do something for me. Lift your hands up this time. Close your eyes. Focus on God and sing it to me. Ready?
Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow. Here I am to say that you're my God. Altogether lovely. Altogether worthy.
Kids are dismissed to Sunday school.
Isn't it good to feel the presence of God? We serve a living God. Aren't you glad we can feel God? I'm so thankful for that. Just so thankful we can feel our God. Wow. Beautiful, beautiful songs and music and beautiful presence here today. If we can just keep the adults as excited to give as the kids, we would be doing something, wouldn't we? They are so excited to come up and give their little offering. It's so great. Of course, I know a lot of it's not there, so it's easy to give away some other money. But that's awesome. That is awesome. Glad you're with us today. As you can see on the screen behind me, the Lord can definitely use examples in our lives or situations to inspire revelation. And this message today was inspired to me by a personal situation. And I just want to share, not the situation, but I want to share the message that God gave me through it. As you can see on here, what we see in the rearview mirror, God saw through the windshield. Now, I want you to focus on that a minute and think about that. If you're left brain here today, you may not get that, so I'm going to explain it. I've got a child that's been diagnosed as left-brained, so that explains a lot. When we look in the rearview mirror of our cars, we see clearly what was behind us, what we passed. We don't see so clearly going forward because we don't know what's ahead. And we don't know why God's doing the things he's doing. We don't know why we're in the storm we're in. We don't know why we're in the battle we're in. I don't care how holy you are here today, how Christian you are, how long you've been in church. It doesn't matter. Every one of us through our journey has questioned or asked the question, God, I don't quite understand. I serve you. I love you. I tithe. I go to church. I pray. I say the blessing over my meals. Why am I battling things? Don't we all wonder that? Why? Why did I lose a child? Why did I go through a divorce? Why did I lose my job? You know, why did I get diagnosed with cancer? I mean, all these questions that we have that makes life seem really unfair sometimes. We see evil people prospering and we see good people broke. We've all seen that. We've all used that example. But see, God sees what's ahead. And sometimes in our prayer is an answer in the season we pray for. It's because God It's always because God knows best. And the title of my message this morning is from an old show that you remember if you're, you know, over the age of 50, I guess. Father Knows Best. Remember that old black and white TV show, Father Knows Best? How many of you have never heard of that show, Father Knows Best? See, all under 50. Yeah, all under 40, actually. Okay, make that clear, under 30. Thank you, D. Now, I'm not over 50, of course, either, but I remember watching that show as a kid with my parents. Great show. Father Knows Best. Our Heavenly Father truly knows best. I've learned through my journey of life, still learning, that God does close doors for us, and it's because he's closing it, not that he's not answering our prayer. God, why is this not working? I'm closing the door. If God was like human beings, he would say, idiot, fool. Remember the old show, A-Team, Mr. T? You fool. Remember he used to always say that? God would say, idiot, I'm closing this door so you don't go through it because this is not the right door. So if you go through it, it's not what I have planned for you. So I'm closing it. And sometimes we mistake closed doors for God not hearing us. God's got our best interest at stake. How much do we love our own earthly children that we would do anything for to protect them? We would fight for them. We would die for them. We would do whatever we could to protect them and make sure they're on the right road and they're safe. How much more does our Heavenly Father love us? Remember what Jesus says? If earthly fathers, earthly men who are no good, who are, I'm paraphrasing what Jesus said, who are evil, give good gifts to their kids, how much more will I, the Holy One, give great gifts unto you? God knows what we need. And instead of us complaining and grumbling through our storms, let's recognize, you know what? There's a storm because God's positioning me and directing me for something better. I truly believe in positional changes in life. I believe in seasonal transitions. I believe in that. We're not always supposed to be where we're at. God changes our seasons and changes our times. And that's a good thing if we let God do it. It doesn't mean, I mean, there's some folks that'll never eat anything but a Big Mac and fry every day of their life. I'm not eating no Whopper Burger King. I'm a Big Mac man. I'm a Chevy man. I'm not driving no Ford. I'm a Chevy man. I'm not going to drive no Japanese car. Well, if you get a Japanese car, you'll be out of the garage. I can tell you that a lot. The next car I'm getting is going to be a foreign car. I'm tired of paying garage bills. So anyway, all I'm saying is this. If we get stuck on one thing, we're missing out. For years, I wouldn't try guacamole. It looks nasty. Don't it look nasty? Green glob. Guacamole is wonderful. It's healthy. It's fresh. It's good. Oh, I'm so glad I tried that green slime, because if I never tried it, I'd be missing out on something good right now. So, you know, it's okay that things change. Nothing wrong with that. People resist change so much. They just resist. Some of us have such a routine. My gosh, you could be on a time clock, 3:08 to 4:22 nap. Every day. Perfect routine. I go here, I was raised in a very routine home, which is great, it was structured. But my life has been nothing like a routine. We ate dinner every night at 5 o'clock growing up. 5 o'clock. I mean, it wasn't every night. 5 o'clock, routine, went to bed same time, ate dinner same time. It was a routine, structured life. Went the same vacation pretty much every year. I mean, it was structured. Dad drove the same car for 15 years. I mean, it was structured. I mean, it was absolutely, everything was the same. And, you know, I'm proud of my parents now. They do something out of the box. I'm like, I hear y'all, out of the box. Y'all went to Hickory on a Monday? Woohoo! Instead of a Saturday, all right. Went to Hickory on a Monday. Oh my, you went to, wow, that's awesome. It's okay to try new things and be different. I mean, look at Doc's life. I mean, Doc ain't no young spring chicken no more. You know what he did in his old age? Sells his house and buys an RV and lives the dream. Yay to Doc. Is that not wonderful? I mean, he's living his dream. He's with us 6 months of the year and in Florida 6 months of the year. That is awesome. That is wonderful. The only thing I miss about Doc when he's gone in 6 months is tie shave. Other than that, I really am glad Doc is there for 6 months. I just give you a hard time. It is awesome. I mean, here's Doc. So, you know, I'm going to sell my house, and we've always wanted an RV. I'm going to do that. What? Hey, live life to the fullest. There's a whole world out there to see, right? There's a whole opportunities of living to see. So don't put God in a box. So this whole point is saying this. We go through seasons we don't understand, but it doesn't mean we're not supposed to be in that season. Instead of giving the devil so much credit for all he brings against our lives, let's give God some glory for what he's taking us through. And say, you know what, God? You got something on the other side. The story of Joseph is perfect. One of the best examples of positional promotion I've ever seen in the Bible. Joseph was a man that his father loved very much. Joseph was a man God loved very much. God began to show Joseph these dreams and visions. God preparing Joseph for greatness. Joseph was his brothers and sisters were jealous over Joseph. Very jealous because his dad loved him and he was, you know, telling these dreams and they didn't like him because he was the golden child. If you got more than one kid, y'all know what I'm talking about. If you only got one kid, you don't know. If you got more than one kid, there's a golden child in every family, right? The golden child. Well, Joseph was the golden child. And all of a sudden, his brothers get him out, and they're going to kill him. Go kill their own brother. And says, well, let's not kill him. Let's just throw him in this pit. And well, at first they threw him in a pit, let him die. So let's not let him die. They saw this Ishmaelite band of people coming by and said, we'll sell him into slavery. Let's just sell him. At least we're not killing him. They sold Joseph into slavery. Don't seem very fair. Here's Joseph. I'm God's man. He showed me dreams and visions. I'm a slave. Are you kidding me? Why am I a slave? Well, that slavery led him to where he was supposed to be, positioned in Egypt. He got to Potiphar's house. God showed favor on him. He promoted Joseph, a slave, into the Potiphar's home. He was over all of his household, position of authority and influence. And then here comes that wily woman. The Bible talks in Proverbs about avoid the silly, wily, creepy women. Don't say creepy, I don't think, but the wily women. Avoid them. Here comes his wife. Joseph, lie with me. Sleep with me. I want you, Joseph. I want you. Every man's dream, right? I want you. I don't hear that anymore at 44 years old. I want you. And he said, no, I can't do this. Mm-mm. I can have everything in the, I'm over the house, but I can't touch you. You're not, I can't have that. So he fled from her. She ripped a piece of his garment off and then falsely accused to her husband, he tried to sleep with me. Falsely accused. Joseph was innocent. Of course, the husband believed his wife. Put him in prison. Poor Joseph, you're talking about a roller coaster. I mean, he was God's man back, you know, in Israel. Then he got thrown in a pit. Then he got pulled out of the pit. Then he got sold as a slave. Then he got promoted. Now he's in prison. I mean, my God, what's he thinking? Lord, really? Can you make up your mind? I mean, hello, I thought I had a plan here. But that was a plan too. In prison, he interpreted two dreams, the cupbearer's dream and the baker's dream. He interpreted their dreams. Well, the cupbearer and the baker got released. And Pharaoh, the king, had a dream, and none of his magicians could interpret it. And one of the people in the prison that was with Joseph says, I remember Joseph had, he interpreted our dreams, and it was exactly right. Get him up here. He called Joseph, told Joseph the dream. Joseph interpreted it exactly. And then Potiphar, the king, promoted Joseph as prince of Egypt. He says, only under me will you be in command. Only under me. You'll ride in a chariot right behind me. All of that to say this. Joseph couldn't see what was ahead of him. We can see clearly. It's kind of like if you hit a deer. You're going down the road. You're going down 115, right? Not the country. You're going down 115 and da-da-da-da. And a deer shoots out. Boom! You just hit it. You know, you didn't see it. Really, you didn't see it in time. But when you look in your rearview mirror, yep, there it is, laying there. 10-pointer. I'll go back and get it and throw it in the trunk, take home. There it is. It's there, laying there. We can see clearly why God did what he did later. But we don't see it in the present moment. We don't understand that. Joseph had to have been battling in his mind, God, I don't understand. Why am I here? Why am I a prisoner? Why have I been, you know, I don't understand what I'm doing. But he ended up, as we know, being prince of Egypt and saving his whole family, feeding them, and becoming a great ruler and man in Egypt under Pharaoh. All that because God had a plan, because Father knows best of what's for our lives. We go through storms. Church, we can't get so Christian that we don't go through storms. Every one of us have attacks. There is no perfect marriage. There is no perfect kid. There is no perfect church. There's only one perfect pastor. And there is no... Let's make sure y'all are listening. And there is no perfect situations. I mean, there's no perfect job. If I could just find that dream job. No, you just want a job where you don't have to work and still get paid. That's not out there. I mean, there's no perfect situation. There's no perfect president, no perfect government, no perfect car. Even a Toyota breaks down eventually. You might have to wait a while for it to happen, but eventually it will break down. There is no perfect thing in life. But what is perfect is the plan of God for our lives. And though there's questions I can't answer and I won't pretend to answer and I'm not arrogant enough to try to answer. If I don't know something, I'm going to tell you I don't know it. I don't know why tragedy happens to people. I don't know why a church bus would wreck and 10 people die in a fiery crash. I can't answer any of those questions. But I do know this. I know God has us in his hands. And what Romans 8 tells us, all things, this means everything, all things work out for good to them who are the called according to his purpose. Something God showed me a while back. I was praying for someone that was dying. And I know for you that lost loved ones, you don't see it this way maybe. But I just want to share something that may help you see a little differently. And I believe God loves us so much, he truly honors us that much. And I believe that there are times that we pray for people to live and not die. They're in a hospital. Lord, let them live. We pray, we believe, we anoint with oil, we lay hands on them. We got church groups praying, we're believing. But yet they pass on off the earth. Two things we need to think about. Number one is that person is in a much better state than they ever were here on the earth. That's the most important thing. The older I get and the more the world that I see, the more hungry I am for the full manifestation of God. To see, God, you got something so much better and greater than what I'm seeing in this body, what I'm seeing around me, what I'm seeing in the hardships of life. So for that person, they've been changed forever. They can breathe again. They've been restored again. There's no more sickness. I mean, they're in a much better place than we are. Second point I want to make is this. I truly believe that we pray for someone, but that person themselves talks to God and says, God, I'm ready to go home. I believe God honors that. I don't care if there's 10,000 people praying for that person. If that one individual says, God, I know people pray for me to live, but I don't want to stay here no more. I'm ready to come home. I'm ready, God, to let go. I'm ready to see you. I believe that God honors that. And so the point I'm trying to make is that God takes care of us, as Kevin sung that song, and I love that part, to the end. To the end. Our dear friend Vance Henry, who's buried in our cemetery, he died 5-6 years ago now, I guess, right? 6 years ago. He fought and fought and fought. He had bone cancer. He had all kinds of health issues, just all kinds. He was a young man, only died when he was 61. All kinds of health issues. You know you're getting old when you think 61's young, right? That's a sign you're not young anymore. Because I'm, D's like, 61, that ain't old. That ain't young. It is, darling. Wait till you get my age. 61 will be pretty young. So he was in the hospital at Lake Norman when he died. I went down there that night, and I got there after he passed away. But his wife, LeJune, this shows the graciousness of our God and how he honors us, I think. Vance had fought for so long and held on. I know he held on for LeJune, his wife. His kids were grown out of the house. It was his wife he held on for. That night, when I got there after he died, me and LeJune talked, and she says, for the first time ever, all the sicknesses, all the times he had close calls, I told Vance, Vance, honey, I know you're tired. If you want to go on, I'm okay. I'll deal with it. I want you better, and I love you. And if you want to let go, let go. I'm going to make it. She said, after she told him that, 10 minutes later, he just goes. See, God honors us to the end. Vance's desire, deep desire, was probably to go on, but his earthly desire was to hang on. And then once he got that release, God, I'm ready. And God just ushered his spirit. See, God sees in the future what we can't see. When we're trying to push down doors that don't work, putting a square peg in a round hole and trying to bang, it don't work because it's not supposed to work. Wait on God to open the right door. Wait on that right season for him to lead you through it. Let's read some scripture. I know we're getting late. I want to get some scripture read. Psalm 139, verse 2. Let's read a few scriptures in there. Father knows best. You know, if we truly can grasp this revelation that God does know best and that he has our best interest, we could even have peace through our storms. God, you got me. Remember when the boat rocked on the Sea of Galilee? Disciples were all freaked out. Oh, the boat's rocking. Wind. Don't you care? You're sleeping, Master. He must have been related to Melanie. You're sleeping. The boat's going to sink. Here's Jesus sleeping, sound asleep. Ain't worried about nothing. You know why? Because he didn't say the word. We're going to the other side. He didn't say it. Nothing was going to change what God had said. Nothing was going to change the plan of God. God ordained it. It was going to happen. It could have been Hurricane Hugo could have come through. A Cat 5 could have swept that boat. That boat could have floated upside down with them underwater for 30 minutes, and they would have breathed. Somehow, they would have made. God done said they're going to cross. So, church, when you know God's got you, when you know he's in your life, when you know he's your Lord, let him be your Lord. Many let him be their Savior, but few let him be their Lord. There's a difference. Being our Savior means he saved us from our sin, but being our Lord means he's the ruler of our lives. Is he your Lord as well as your Savior? Do you trust him with all things, your money, your health, your marriage, your family, all things? God, you're Lord over this, you're Lord over this, you're Lord over all. And if we can trust God to be our Lord as well, man, we can have some peace in the storm. Because he's the peace speaker. There is no storm, there is no battle, there is no plague that can come nigh our dwelling when God has us on every side. God says, I'm before you, I'll surround you, I'm all in you, I'm around you. Nothing shall fall. 1,000 fall at thy right side and 10,000 at thy left, but it will not come nigh thee. God's got his hand upon his people, and he knows what he is doing. God is certified in the knowing what to do business. Do you hear me? He's got his blue certificate, and he knows what he's doing. We may question that a lot. I don't understand, God. I've been serving you and doing all this in my life. Now, don't raise your hand, because I don't want to embarrass you. You might raise your hand. You might not care. But how many of you through your journey at some point really got on fire for God, doing all the right things you thought spiritually, and the more you did for God, the worse things got? You ever had that experience? The worst things seem to be. Well, God, the more I do for you, God, it's like the worst things get. We know what? The devil's going to always fight, number one. And number two, we got to learn to trust God. We're not always going to be on the mountaintop. The one thing most of us look forward to in our lives, whether you're working or retired, is vacation time, right? I bet Doc's already I think Doc's already licking his chops. That kind of rhymed. To get back to Florida. He's probably thinking, oh boy, it's sunny Florida, and you know, the coastline, the water, da da. We look forward to a vacation. We look forward to getting away, and I totally had a point there and completely lost it because of Doc's chops. But anyway, let's read Psalm 139, verse 2. Thou knowest my down-sitting, and you know my uprising. You understand my thoughts afar off. You compasseth my path. That means you surround me. You compasseth my path when I'm going and my lying down. And you are acquainted with all my ways. Isn't that scary that God knows all your ways and he still loves you? That shows how much he loves you. He knows all your ways. He knows that gossiping, lying tongue. He knows them lustful thoughts. He knows that swindling heart that you might sometimes have. He knows when they gave you extra money at Walmart, more change, you didn't turn it back in, and you walked away with it. He knows all that. He knows all of our uprising, all of our downsitting, all of our thoughts. He knows who we are. For there is not a word in your tongue that the Lord doesn't knoweth it all together. Here is what I say. You will not hear many pastors say this. I'm serious. I don't know why a pastor had to pretend to be something more than human. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you this. There is not... Why am I keep losing my points? That is the enemy right there. I had a great point there. Let me read the verse again. You know, oh yeah, you know us all together. God already knows what we're thinking and what we would like to say, right? So why not be honest with God and talk to him? Don't pretend. People say, well, I can't, you know, ask God why. I hear people say all the time, I can't question God. Why can't? He knows what you're thinking. You think you're thinking it? Boy, if God was God, he'd be blessing me, but I can't say that out loud. Well, he knows what you're thinking. Talk to him. God, I don't understand. Help me understand some things. Why am I going through this? Or why do I feel like you're not hearing me? Or why is a door not opened? Or, Lord, I'm a little frustrated. I'm a little frustrated. You know, when we lose someone we love, a spouse or a child, every person goes through a period, some longer than others, but everyone goes through a short period of questioning why. Or how come he had to go? How come they had to die? I don't understand this. We go through that grieving, angry, frustrated period. Nothing wrong with that. Church, God gave us emotions. You know why, you know, we got tears? You know what they're made for? To cry. Tears are made to run for men and women. Crying's a part of healing. Grief's a part of healing. Even anger in the right way is a part of healing. All emotions God gave us. So when we pretend we're emotionless and that we got together, I can't question God, can't talk to God that way. You know, you're talking about blasphemy. You know, that message of blaspheming God has been mistaught by most everybody. Blaspheming God is not questioning God. Blaspheming God is not talking about God. Blaspheming God is rejecting truth when it comes. That's blasphemy, when you reject his truth when it comes to you. We can question God. He knows you are anyway. He knows you're mad. He knows you're frustrated. He knows your ways. You can't escape it. You know, it's like your spouse. You've been married very long. You know your spouse. You know their look. I know when something's wrong with Melanie. I walk in the house, she ain't got to say a word. I'm not talking about she's over there going, well, of course I don't know what she's done wrong. I'm talking about when I just say, hey, honey, hey, what's wrong? You see it in their face. You know your children. You know when something's wrong with your child. You know it's hard to disguise that. God knows this too, so talk to them. Quit hiding behind it and acting like you know, talk to them. That's going to bring healing. I love verse 5. He has beset me behind and before, and he has laid his hand up on me. If God's got his hand on me, he knows what he's doing. I trust him. God, just lead me. I'll follow. Whoever that is, lead me. Open the path. Open the door. Just lead me. You got your hand on me, so you're not going to leave me ever. You'll be with me to the end, to the very end. And I believe that. God does not forsake us to the very end. He is with us, carrying us across our Jordan. So his hand's upon you. If his hand's upon you, he's got a plan. And he's going to fulfill it. Verse 7. Where shall I go from his spirit? Where shall I flee from his presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, oh, look at this, even in those remote places of my life, those desolate, dark places of no return, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand's going to hold me. Is that not powerful? God's hand is going to lead you and hold you no matter where you go. We can't escape God's presence. We can stop coming to church all we want. I ain't going to church anymore. I don't believe in God, don't love God. I ain't going to go to church. Wait, I don't mean his presence ain't still there. You ain't going to escape God because you're out of church. I mean, hello, look at the, you know. Me and Ash were talking about sharks the other day. You know how sharks, you know, can be aggressive and how they're eating everybody at the beach and stuff. And she said, I wish sharks were extinct. I said, why, honey? They're beautiful creatures. Sharks are beautiful and they're massive and they're incredible and they're awesome. And she goes, Ashley said, well, what's awesome about eating people? I said, honey, they are worshiping God. That's what I told her. Now, y'all are looking at me like, okay, let me explain. It ain't that their fiends going, hallelujah. I'm not saying that. They're worshiping God through being what God created them to be. They're hunters. They're always on the prowl. Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. They're always on the prowl. They are doing what God wired them to do. When you hear them birds sing, they are worshiping God. When you see the squirrel out, you know, collecting his little nuts on the ground, they're worshiping God. The creation shows us they are being what God called them to be. We as his people will never be truly satisfied. Have you ever seen a depressed squirrel? I mean, a depressed shark? Hey, George, I need some counseling. No, because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. You don't see depressed animals. I mean, I understand they can be, you know, they can be sick and not feel good, but our golden retriever has no cares in life. He pays no bills. He has no stress except when it storms. He gets pretty shook up when it starts lightning and thunder. But all our dog is worried about, am I going to eat? Can I go outside and take care of business? And is my master going to pet me? That's pretty much their limited life. And they're always happy. Our dog, if you got dogs, do you ever walk in the door and they're just looking at you like, no, they're always tail wagging, you know. You know, oh, they're so happy to see you. It don't matter how their day's been. They're happy to see you. That's how God is. I mean, he's just so happy to see us. They're not depressed because they're doing. The reason we're so discouraged and depressed, we're not fulfilling the way God designed us to be. We are to worship God, not just in church on Sunday, but we worship him through our work, through our relationships, through our family, through our children, through each other. It's how we worship God. We worship God through loving one another, compassion, forgiveness, serving others. All of that is how we worship God. It's part of how we're supposed to be, and we will be fulfilled. And I got on that, I know, but God's with you is what it's saying. All right, verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. And I love that. Even if darkness is around me, the light's still in you. You know, I told somebody here a while back, they were talking about how they don't feel the anointing like they used to, or don't walk in it, I said, look, that's not changed. That deposit of God's Holy Spirit was placed in you, and it can be affected by the way we operate in it. I've got a car in a driveway. I can choose to drive it or leave it parked, but I still got a car. That car is real whether it's driven or whether it's parked. The Holy Spirit's been deposited. He's not took anything away from you. You've not lost the anointing. You've not lost a step. We have just failed to continue to operate in what God has given us. There's a big difference. It's still there. You still can feel God. You still can move mountains. You still can talk to God. You can still hear from God. But you've got to get in a place to where you're using what God gave you. Because it's laying there. It's in there. God doesn't just, as this verse was talking about, there's darkness all around you. Church, we go through storms. I sure don't feel like praising God in a battle. None of us do. We get a bad phone call, a bad diagnosis. We lose someone we love. I mean, I'm sure when Vance passed away, LaJunie's first response wasn't, I praise you, Jesus, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. I mean, she grieved. She was sad. But even in that darkness of death, that darkness of tragedy, that darkness of discouragement or fear or depression or anxiety, whatever you're battling, in your darkness, that light of God is still there. It's still in you. That light's not left you because you go through a dark place. I can turn all the lights off in my house at night, but once I flip, the lights are still there. It may be dark in my house, but the light is still there. Once I flip the switch, I see the light. God is the switch in you that's always illuminating. If we would just see that and trust that, He'll still light your way even when it's dark. That's the presence of God that doesn't leave us. In church, we go through dark times. We go through bad times. We go through hard times. But that light don't leave. Remember that. No matter what you're going through, He is still in you. He is still there. Verse 13. You have possessed my reins. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. We don't need to change all of our body parts to be wonderfully made. God made us the way He wanted us. He gave Doc that nose He wanted. He gave Dee the eyes He wanted. He gave me this beautiful bush of hair you see upon me. God gave me. And I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what? I was made on purpose. I was an intentional blueprint. I wasn't an accident. I wasn't an oops moment. I don't care what anybody says. You may not have planned your child to be here. You may have been, it may be an oops moment for you. Ooh, gee, uh-oh. Or Scooby-Doo said, right? What are we going to do? But no, God had it planned. God knew. Because God's the only giver of life. It's still up to God to make that life form. You understand that? There's a purpose for that. There is a purpose. I read this, the abortion was legalized in 1973. I just want to note this, speaking, since I'm talking about children being born. Since 1973, abortion has been legal, millions of babies killed in America, legally under the, law of murder, under the law of, whatever. I read a statement that says if we took a moment of silence for every child that's been aborted since 1973, we would be silent for 100 years. Think about that, 100 years. There is no child that is a mistake. God is the giver of life. And you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. You're an intentional production of God. Your own purpose. It says, marvelous are thy works, and my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret, and I was curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And look at verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, and yet being imperfect, in your book, in other words, in your plan, in your plan, God, all of my members were written, which is in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum. How much do we get on a guilt trip condemning ourselves, thinking God don't think good of us? The Bible says how precious. God wants good for us. He thinks that. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be fulfilled. God's thoughts for us are not thoughts of judgment and condemnation. They're thoughts of redemption and freedom. He wants that for all of us. He's not against you. He's for you. Hear a lot of people say, well, I've done a lot of stuff, and now, you know, God's punishing me. I don't buy that, church. I don't buy that. Because understand this, if we think that, then we're back into the works again. If we think that our works cause God to punish us, then how can we believe we're saved by grace completely? I do believe we reap what we sow, yes. But I don't believe that the thing, well, God's punished me because I've done this. We do reap what we sow because of our own decisions, our own free will. I mean, if I go rob a bank and get caught and get 20 years in jail, I can't say, well, God did that to me. He didn't. I was a stupid idiot. I went and did that. God's thoughts for us are precious. Each one of us is in his mind all the time. And each one of our prayers matter. Each one of our storms matter. Each one of our battles matter. You know, we have little Beulah who is suffering physical sickness and going through some things right now. And little Beulah, this little, you know, older lady from the big town of Statesville, North Carolina, USA, who's lived in the same house for most of her adult life, you know, or many of her years of her adult life, God's got her on his mind. God sees her suffering. God sees her pain. God cares for Beulah as much as anybody else. See, humans elevate others above others, not God. Church, you know how you can't, I mean, some parents I guess can, but in general, you love your kids the same. You may not like them the same. It's a different, no, y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't act like, oh, yeah. But you love them the same. You may want to hang out with them one more than the other. You may connect with one more, but you love them the same. You can't, you know, you line them all up and say, okay, I got to kill one of them. That ain't going to happen. You can't pick that. We're God's children. We're all different. You know, we look different. We act different. You know, some of us get on God's nerves more than the others, but we're all God's. We're all his children. And that's a beautiful thing. His thoughts for us are precious. Think about before you got saved, how God already had it in mind. He already knew he was going to pass your way. You know, whether you was 10 when you got saved or 50 when you got saved, he already knew he was going to pass your way one day. He already knew that because he knows all things. And he saw what you were going through when you, I'm going to call that one, I'm going to speak to that one. One day, they're going to be mine. They're going to hear my voice because God knows all things. He knows the future. Go to the next verse. This is one more last scripture. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, and they are thoughts of peace. They're not thoughts of evil. I want to give you an expected end. That means a future hope. My plan is to give you a future hope. Church, we have that through the kingdom of God. We have a future hope. Aren't you glad this world isn't all we got? You know, I find myself, and it's not being cowardly, it's not being not engaged, but I told Melly yesterday, I find myself, the more I see the world going, the more junk I see arising, the more I want to detach myself from it and really focus on God's kingdom. Church, we can rant and rave and get mad about things that we can't change. And I'm saying we should stand up for things, but we rant and get all emotional and get all worked up over things that just keep us fired up, that don't change anything, when this isn't even our kingdom. It's God's kingdom. That's who I belong to. I belong in God's kingdom. So I'm going to focus on what's important, and that's teaching others about God. That's helping others bring healing. That's teaching others about their future. Yeah, you might have some suffering years here. Life's hard. Life's tough. You know, as a pastor, you hear a lot of stories, and you know, once I thought I've heard the story of stories, another one comes along to top that. I'm like, oh, my gosh, are you serious? You've been through that? That's happened to you? Oh, my gosh. Life is hard, and we see each other as church family. And we love each other. And y'all sounded so beautiful this morning singing. Didn't it sound beautiful, Kevin, singing together? That was beautiful. Each one of you's got a story. There are people sitting here right now around you that are fighting drug addiction right now. Fighting alcoholism right now. There are those in here right now that have faced and tried to commit suicide in this church. There are those in here that have been abused as children in this church. Abused by their parents. There has been sexual abuse from people in this church. Not, you know, the people, victims of it, I mean. All of that's happening in this body right now. All this, I mean, you know, I was sitting here yesterday thinking about our church body and all the battles they're facing. And it is, I mean, everybody doesn't have a picket fence life. I was very blessed to have a wonderful life and you know, have a pretty good adult life. I have a lot more challenges now than I did as a kid. I think we all do as adults. But overall, it's good. But there are battles and storms all around you. You know, my grandma who lost grandpa 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Yeah, so a little over 5 years ago. You don't think grandma lays on the couch at night in her home by herself and still has moments of crying and weeping and loneliness? Brenda the same way. Think about Jean. Have those moments where the burden comes back temporarily. The weight maybe hits her in certain moments, certain things bring that up. And these widows are at their house crying at night. Nobody knows that. The person that's lost a child, that it's hard to ever get away from losing that child. That's kind of always there. So many battles, church. And the good news is God has a plan. And God knows what's best for your life. And he has not left you even in your darkness. He's there. You trust him. Come on up, Kevin, and just play a little something. God cares for where you're at. It's okay to question God, church. I'm telling you, it's okay. Me and Mally have through the years, we're like, God, I don't quite understand what's, you know, I don't understand. You know, God has blessed us so much, and he has blessed this ministry so much, and we're 13 years old now as a church. 13 years old, and I'm so happy for that. Many startup churches don't make it. We made it 13 years, and we'll keep going. But you know what? Me and Melanie, I'm not saying it's for a pity party. I'm just being honest because of battles we've had, especially with Melanie because she's a woman. Women think different than men. You know, women just think different. We have sacrificed things that nobody, even my parents, don't really understand what we've sacrificed for the church. Our kids have sacrificed. We have sacrificed so much financially that we are still paying on debt today that I incurred when I started this church because of all the income I lost. You don't think I've said, God, I've served you. Why can I not be out of this hole? It doesn't seem fair. But then something happens. I see your faces. I see the faces that God's changed. I see my children who received the Lord in this church. I see the chains that have been broken off of their lives. I see the Bob Shepherds, the Dave and Tori Messicks, who had changed their lives. The little Millies that live in Florida now, that said the 2 years she was here got her through her storm. It changed her forever. So when I look at the big picture, I realize, okay, yeah, money's important. We need money to live. We need money to have a good time. But you know what? The bigger picture is his kingdom. Because all the money in the world is going to pass away. But the one thing that will remain is him. He knows what you need. He knows, church, what you're battling. And it's okay to get frustrated. Get angry, because then God can speak to you. Talk to him. And God has given me great peace, and I don't regret one thing I've done. I don't regret stepping out. I don't regret anything. I just want you to know firsthand, because I always try to be so real, because I realize so many pastors and ministers try to portray a picture of a different person. I'm James. That's all I am. I'm a servant of God. That's all I am. I'm a family man with 3 kids and a wife trying to pay the bills week to week like everybody else. That's all I'm trying to do, and live for God the best I can. But there have been sacrifices that this family, my kids have seen and have made. They have seen the stress on me and Melanie through the last 13 years of the price that it is. It's not an easy life, not an easy job. But it's so rewarding in the big picture. And I really do hope one day we sing songs. I don't know how it'll be, but I do hope one day that when my time comes to see Jesus face to face, when my time comes, this world is not as it is now, that God will speak to me and say, here's your reward. here's your reward, faithful servant. I'm not the best pastor, not the best preacher. I know that. I just try to be real and try to be who God, like Kevin said earlier, who God called me to be. I can't preach but one way, how God made me. And I could preach it, but I'm not. I'm not going to change and be who God didn't make me, to try to form to be somebody else. I'm going to trust God called me to be me the way I am. However long that lasts, however long I preach, however long I pastor, I'm going to trust, I'm going to do that until God says differently. That's all I can be, church. Stand to your feet with me if you would. I want to pray with the church this morning. Church, we go through battles, and each one of you are going through something. And I want to pray as a church today that you recognize that God knows best, and that you may be stuck in a season you don't like right now. You may be in a ditch spinning your wheel and can't figure out how to get out. Just trust God. Just wait. Just stay the course. God is a positional God. And there's times that we won't leave this door unless God sometimes pushes us out of that door. He has to almost push us out sometimes to get to where we want to go. Join hands with somebody near you if you would. Just grab their hand. I want to pray over the church this morning, over everybody that's here. Lord, every one of us joining hands are battling something today. We're bearing a burden. We're facing a giant. We're something going on, Lord. There's some kind of chain, bondage, guilt, shame, questions unanswered, frustration, anxiety, depression, addiction, stronghold, something, God, going on in our lives. I pray you move, Jesus. And Lord, I want you to move in a way. The way, God, I want you to move is that you speak to these hearts, that they will recognize you see ahead. You're looking out the front windshield. You know what's ahead for their lives. That they will just form a new trust to say, God, I'm going to trust you in my storm. I'm going to trust you in the ditch. I'm going to trust you right where I am because you see ahead. And there are better days ahead. There's a better place for me ahead. There's a better season for me ahead. You have something greater for me ahead. Teach us, God, to be faithful. Teach us to wait on you as Joseph waited in prison, as Joseph waited in the pit, as Daniel waited in the lion's den, as the three Hebrew children waited by the fiery furnace. Teach us to wait as Moses waited, Lord, through 10 plagues, as he waited for his commission, as he waited for his destination. Let us wait and trust you. We can clearly see behind us, God, and that's okay. But you see ahead of us. And God, you are closing doors. And I want to pray this now. I want to pray to the church. God, you close every single door that we're not supposed to go through. Shut the door, God. Shut the door, even beyond our own desires, our own expectations. If it's a door you don't have, I pray you shut the door. And I pray for you to open the right doors. Open doors of opportunity. Open doors of healing. Open doors of new season. Open doors of favor. Open doors of blessing. Open the right doors, God. That it's your door, not our door. Your door, not man's door. Your desires, God, not our desires. Because only your desires being fulfilled will be the best plan for our lives. I pray that, Lord, over this church. For every hand that's being held, God, touch every heart. Touch every life. For those, Lord, that have not made you their Lord, let them understand you are the only way into salvation. No other name can we be saved but through your name. And I pray they call upon you and say, Jesus, I don't understand everything, but I know you're calling me. I know you're drawing me. I know there's something deeper in my life you have for me. I know there's a greater plan. And God, I give you my heart. Take it over. Take over my life. I lay it down here today. I lay it down. I'm going to walk out of here trusting you to let you steer the car and drive the ship. You're in control, God, and I trust you that much. I pray that prayer, Lord, over this body, that we leave here encouraged and our faith uplifted. In the precious name of Jesus, the church said, amen. Hallelujah.